Okay, I guess the kids are going down, right? All right, we good? Okay. I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. I think that's where we'll start this morning. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been considering some things regarding words, their importance and their power. And again, this isn't an exhaustive study on this subject, but rather an overview with, again, the heart being that we would really appreciate the importance of those words that we speak and really begin to appreciate more that ability that God's given us. You know, at some point, we'll probably take a look at some things in the book of James, and it talks about that tongue being, you know, setting a whole woods on fire. No man can tame it. But we have the Spirit of God, and we have abilities that come along with that. And it's pretty tremendous to see some of these things and to think about them. We've considered some things from the Word regarding how that words can heal. Words can wound. We've considered a couple places where it talks about the words, words being like weapons. That's something. And words that lift the heart. We've looked at some things regarding how that words are a gauge of the heart. But it's also by way of words that we teach and instruct our heart. We've looked at a couple things regarding how that words produce fruit. And that words can ensnare a man. A man can be snared by his own words. And then we've looked at a couple things regarding words that were designed to cause fear. Words, designed to cause fear, doubt, make God seem powerless, make the things of God seem ineffective. You ever hear such a thing? We looked at a record. It was in Nehemiah 6. And it was just one of the examples of this and how that Nehemiah was given the responsibility to rebuild the wall at Jerusalem. And Sanballat, who was an unbeliever, a man of power in that area, sent him letter after letter after letter after letter after letter, deriding him. And it says in the word, in that record, in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, that the point of these words was to make them weak and fearful so then that they could not continue the work. But you know what? Nehemiah didn't take delivery. He didn't take delivery. He didn't accept it. He stood on what God had given him to do, and he stood on the words that God had given him. Isn't that something? And they rebuilt the wall. See? And nothing could stop it because it was God's word. You're going to hear me say that a lot. And these are things and words that perhaps we're familiar with. It's God's word. But there's a lot behind that. We heard it in manifestations how that God backs his word up, right? You know, and right now, and I just want to perhaps address this. I'm not going to get into it. But, you know, right now, it's a beautiful example of how words designed to cause fear, how words that are designed to just cut into the heart of people are being so, so pushed, especially over this past week. And when you allow those words and you repeat those words and those words take precedence over what God's word says, see, that's when that fear and that's when that doubt begins to happened. Do you understand what I mean? We were talking yesterday. We had men's prayer breakfast, and it was just an awesome time. Dan shared the word, and one of the guys was talking about this, and, you know, just watching the news, and, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm an older guy. you know, this kind of thing. And I thought this was really fantastic. He said, and then I remembered, you know, God says don't fear. But he said that wasn't good enough. I got that concept that God says don't fear. But then he started recalling actual scripture. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. See? Isn't that something? You know, there are words, Romans 8:15, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of what? Yeah, adoption. Abba, Father. He's not given us in Timothy. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind, right? See? And these are words that we hide in our heart. These are words that we hide in our heart. And we just don't get caught up in that. We just don't get caught up in that. And we speak those words to our hearts. We speak the words of God to our hearts, not the words of the adversary. And this is exactly how the adversary works. We'll look a little bit again here. But we looked at that a couple weeks ago. And one of the main things that he uses are words. Words that cause fear. Words that cause doubt. Words that make relying on God look foolish or unenlightened or however he makes it look. But I'll tell you something. When God says, I sent my word and healed them, you know what he did? He sent his word and he healed them. Right? God's words never go out void. They just don't. And I want you to look here at Luke. We're not going to read this whole record. But it's really beautiful. And again, this is one of those things you just read in God's word and it's hard to... You know, I don't know how you do it. You grab the fullness of what's going on here. But this is right after, we learn from Matthew, right after when Jesus Christ was baptized by John. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In chapter 4 of Luke, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." Now, Jesus Christ would have been in a very weakened state at this point, not eating for 40 days and 40 nights, and during that entire time being tempted by the devil. And, you know, I don't know what that looked like. The word doesn't say. You know, he's pretty good at what he does. But Jesus Christ, you know, he stood, and it's really remarkable. Here he is at the end in this weakened state, and I can't imagine not eating for 40 days and 40 nights. I just, you know, I don't know how to do that. But I imagine there's stuff going on physically. Jesus Christ went through this. It's really something. It's one of the things that he went through on our behalf. And the devil tempts him, the first thing. And he says, "If you be the Son of God." And the devil said unto him, "If you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread," or that it be made a loaf. And Jesus Christ said, this is just, now again, this is Jesus Christ. If there were a better way to handle this, we would be reading it right now. But this was the way to handle this. And he said, "It is what? Written." And then he spoke God's word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It wasn't a question as to whether he had the ability, the power, or any of those things. The only question in his mind is, what did God want him to do? Ha! Isn't that something? And he spoke God's word in this situation. See? That's right. It's the greatest thing that we have. We have the words of God to speak to one another and to speak to our own hearts. Regardless of what's going on. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6. We're going to reread a verse that we've read a couple weeks ago. It's really remarkable, the fear that gets built, by the words of the world and, to some of the stuff that's going on right now. Apparently, a lot of people have been tricked into believing that if you store up enough toilet paper, you'll be okay. I don't know. But, we rely on God and we rely on God's words. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, let's start there. I want to zero in on one verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of what? Of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See? Those words that the world pushes, whether they're to cause fear or to cause doubt, we deal with them all the time, see? And we're to put on that shield of believing wherewith we quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of believing is based on information that comes from God. It's God's word. See? It's God's word. And so when, that the thoughts come or the words come that, you're powerless, boy, put the word on. Put the word on. Or that, you're a son of God, but you've screwed up lately. So God, put the word on. Don't accept it. Don't take delivery. See? And that's something. And we guard our hearts with that stuff. We just take a stand on God's word. It is written. That's how we do it. It's written. See, and we do it for our own hearts, and we do it for one another. We do it for one another, too. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Just flip a page. When we allow ourselves to just simply repeat those words that come from the adversary, the result is we just end up paralyzed with fear. And we can rationalize that stuff. Oh, boy, do we have an ability to rationalize. But we've got God's word. And we can stay put on God's word. We can say what God's word says. And who brings his word to pass? God does it. God brings his word to pass. Ephesians chapter 4. I wanted to read this in light of what we have as members one of another, that we help one another to do this, to stay put on God's word, and God has given us great ability to do that. He's given us this family to stand in to do that. We're just going to read a little bit here. It says in verse 25, and this is what this looks like. you know, walking and putting others first, walking in love, putting on this new man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members, what?
One of another.
One of another. It's really something. You know, this illustration of the body is really tremendous. If parts of your physical body lie to you, is that good? No, the whole body's affected. You know? Isn't that something? Well, we're members one of another. See? And this is something we want to constantly be aware of. And then it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That's something. We're encouraged here to not give place to the devil. Right? Which would stand to reason there are ways by which we could give place to the devil. And if you give him a place, he'll take it. He's more than happy to do that, see? Isn't that something? Now, in the context here, it's dealing with anger. We'll probably come back to this at some point. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, and let no corrupt or putrid, rotten, decadent communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, this many translations handle this as the use of edifying in the moment, or edify to fit the need. How would I know that? Because you've got the Spirit of God. You believe God works in you to willing to do of His good pleasure? It's an important question. Boy, God works in you. And so we're aware of that. We're aware of that. We're aware of that Spirit of God. And ours isn't to worry about, by the way, in saying and in looking at some of the things that we're going to be looking at. Too often saints, or I don't know, I shouldn't say too often, but at times, saints get caught up in wondering, is that from God or is that from my mind? Is that from God or is that from my mind? Stop it. Walk in love. How about that? How about we walk in love? We love our Lord. How about we do that? We're aware of reverencing our Lord Jesus Christ and how we treat one another. How about that? See? Because who backs his word up? God does. And he says he works in you to will and to do with his good pleasure. Where is it written that it's my job to figure that out? Right? It's not. So stop it. We just walk in love. We love our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we say stupid things. We just move on because God is love. And you know what else? We forgive one another because we're all idiots. Separate from the Spirit of God, right? See? And that's how we walk toward one another. And we help one another. We speak words that edify, that fit the need at the moment. You know? It's really something. And then I think the next verse says, and grieve not the Spirit of God with which we've been sealed under the day of redemption. That verse breaks my heart. You know, because it's kind of like to make that Spirit of God sad. You know, it's just not who we are. So this is how we walk, and we're aware of our words. We're aware of our words. Let me show you one more verse along these lines. First Peter, chapter 4. And this is something we could just get, you know, we can just get better at and more aware of. First Peter chapter 4. Okay, let's start in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity or love among yourselves. For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Verse 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging or discontent. As every man hath received the gift, as every man hath received the gift. This is exactly what it says in Romans 12. Each one has received charisma, a gift of God's grace. We're all equipped by God's grace by way of the Spirit of God. You believe that? What the Word says. The adversary will say, you're really not that critical. And nobody's really going to notice anyway. But the Word says, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to notice. And we as members of the body, whether we are aware of it or not, will bear the effects of that. The adversary knows that. See? Then it says, as every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Isn't that amazing? Each one of us has received from God by grace a function, that which we do in this body of Christ. You may never understand what that is. Who cares? Walk in love. Reverence your Lord Jesus Christ. You'll do it. You'll do it. It'll bless people. Isn't that something? Then it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or literally, it's to speak the words of God or the very words of God. Now, God would not encourage us to do this if we couldn't do it. We can do it. Speak the words of God. If any man minister, do it as the ability which God has given. Not trying to be somebody else. Not trying to do what you've seen somebody else do. Just be you. It's the ability God's given you. Isn't that cool? And you walk in love. Just do it. God's working. How often has somebody said something to you over the years? You just, oh, God, I needed that. You know, and you never even told them. They just went on, never even knew about it. It's okay. It's pretty awesome how this stuff works. See? But we want to be aware of these things and not let the adversary talk us out of it or belittle it or make it smaller than it is. It's just incredible. It's awesome. Let me finish reading this verse. So if any man ministers, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's the result of it. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Isn't that something? That God is glorified through Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. This is where I originally was going to start this teaching. Doesn't mean I'm going to... But I did want to share some of those things just because, You know, sometimes things get so crazy around us, and those words, they can have an effect. See? But God has equipped us, see, to walk above the fray. He really has. And the peace that we can have. You know, the word says in Philippians, be anxious for... That's what it says. That's what it says. But by prayer and supplication. Right? That's what we do. That's what we do, see. And God backs his word up. But in light of this, and in light of words, and this is where, in trying to share what I'm going to share, it's just that I feel so inadequate to really communicate the bigness of this, and maybe that's okay. But you know, this day of Pentecost, and we're just going to read a verse, but this day of Pentecost, this is something that God had been working toward ever since the garden. This was the beginning of his being able to have a kingdom that he could work with. This was a big, big, big deal. This day of Pentecost, was the day that began an administration that he had been looking forward to that was hid. Isn't that something in him? You know, keep in mind, as we read this and we just think about the incredible privileges we have now as sons of God, Jesus Christ earned the right for God to judge anytime he wanted. He paid the price for that. God chose to hold off. That's right. That's what the word says. Isn't that something? And this day began all this. This is the day. And consider how it began. Because we're going to move into a little something here. But I wanted to begin it with this. Here it is. Verse 3, this day of Pentecost, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so this was the first thing. This was the foundation of this time that God had all this time been building toward. You had 12 men speak words from the spirit realm into the physical realm. That's how this thing began. So what kind of significance do you think God places on words? And you see this. You see little glimpses of this all through the Word, where men who stood on God's words spoke those words, and it happened. We looked at a record yesterday. I was going to go there, but I don't think we're going to have time. It's the record of Elijah. And he said, it will not rain for however long it was by my word. Because God had given him the authority to do that. He then spoke it. And you know what happened? It didn't rain. That's right. Then you go down a few verses in that record and it says, he tells Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God commanded the ravens. Ravens don't typically feed. They steal. Isn't that something? But God commanded the ravens to. So Elijah's part was to get to the brook Cherith, or however it's pronounced. And you know what happened? Ravens fed him. They brought him bread and meat every morning and every night. and he had water to drink. See? Because God commended it to be so. Then you go down a few more verses, and the brook had dried up, and he said, okay, you need to go to this little town in Zidon, which is interesting because it's the hometown of Jezebel. You go to this town, he says, for I have commanded a widow woman to feed thee. Now, see, to our minds, what that communicates is that God told a widow woman, this guy's coming, and you need to take care of him and feed him. Oh, that's not at all what happened. But God commanded it. So you know what was going to happen? This widow woman was going to take care of Elijah. And Elijah didn't even necessarily know what this was going to look like. But his part was to go. So he did. That town, I think it was Zereth was the name of the town, something like that. And there's a widow woman. And he says, what you doing? And she says, I'm fixing the last of my food so that me and my son can die. Elijah says, tell you what, you take care of me first and you'll not run out of food. You know what she did? She did it. And you know what happened? Didn't run out of food. Isn't that something? Because God commanded it. And it went from God commanding it here and it coming to pass and looking like it did in the physical realm. I don't understand all these things, but I know that God's word means what it says and it says what it means. And that my job is to believe it. Right? Your job is to believe it. Right? Not try and figure it all out. I want to show you something along these lines. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 5. And I think this is where we'll stop. But I just want to consider this as an example of something that God has done and has given men to do. And I want to begin in Acts chapter 5. We're just going to look at a verse here, or a couple verses. Acts chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 17. Verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now there was a great move of the word going on. People were getting healed left and right. Thousands were believing God's word, getting born again. And you know, here you have it. You know, the adversary, it's not flesh and blood. It looks like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were just tools. See? So, they rose up, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But, verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth and said, go with me so that we can speak. No, he told these men to what? Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of what? Of this life. He gave it to the men to speak all the words of this life. And it's the life regarding Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that they were to speak. The angel didn't speak it. He gave it to the men to do. He told the men to do it. There's another record in Acts chapter 10. Acts You know, you've probably never heard it put as, on that day of Pentecost, speaking words from the spirit realm into the physical realm. But that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. And, you know, when you walk with God and you speak God's word and you're walking in love, you speak words that originate in the spiritual realm into the physical realm. Isn't that beautiful? Okay. And those words can minister. They can heal. Here we're reading about the words of life. These are words that give life. You could share, you know, with a person, these words. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, just confess Him as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. In that instant, they could have eternal life. Isn't that amazing? You just gave that to them. You gave it. As you've received, you give it. That's how it works. The angel told these men to go and speak. Here's a record we all know, we're all familiar with. It's the record of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, he was a musician. That was a joke. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision clearly, the word evidently is clearly, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Man. Now, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. Now, something. Why didn't the angel just take care of it? It's not his to do. The authority to speak the gospel regarding Jesus Christ has been given unto men. We speak it. This is an example of one of the things that took place on the day of Pentecost. It's pretty amazing. Men are given that authority. The ones you see speaking the gospel in the Word of God are men, including Jesus Christ. But it's not given to angels to do. They don't have that authority. They can set things up in a wonderful way so that men can then speak like we read here. Let me show you one more in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Boy, what a great truth this is. Verse 13 says, But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister or to serve for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that a tremendous verse? Angels serve those who are the heirs of salvation. Now, who is that? Who's been sealed unto the day of redemption? We have. Isn't that something? They serve, minister for the heirs of salvation, which is those who have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the not only the right and the privilege, but we've been given the authority to speak God's word, to speak regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, to speak those words of life so that other men could be saved. It's pretty amazing. We've been given the ability to do this. We've been given the ability to bring life to a dead person and the ability to minister, to heal the heart of a brother or a sister. By way of that Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? The impact we have. The impact we have on one another. And don't think that impact ceases when you're by yourself. It doesn't. It doesn't. It really doesn't. Because remember, when you're by yourself, you're still teaching your heart. And you still got a Lord. And one of these days, I've mentioned a couple times there in the Psalm, I think it's Psalms, it talks about those who they set their tongue to just do whatever it wants. And it says, who sees? Who's Lord over our tongue? That's not who we are. We have a Lord, Jesus Christ, right? So I just chew on these things, okay? We're gonna keep going with some things, but, you know, I hope this doesn't seem disjointed to you, but I really wanted to set a truth regarding our authority. And an example of that that's given here regarding speaking the gospel. And, boy, does that make that makes our lives so critical. It really does. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay.